We all know that there's a fine line between brave and reckless. It's not necessarily a good thing when someone at work says, "That was a very brave thing you said to the boss at the staff meeting this morning." Or in my line of work, "That was a very brave sermon." Brave or reckless. We read in our newspapers of the bravery of ordinary citizens who intervene when they see a crime being committed, some of whom are badly hurt or even lose their lives. So some call them reckless. Those who work in the emergency services and the armed forces need to learn how to be not reckless, but brave, for the sake of them and for their colleagues. The bravery or the recklessness is the outworking of it, if you like. The inner feelings are the same. Even with deep and convinced motivation, the act may be brave or reckless depending on who sees it. I wonder whether part of the test we use is precisely this, how it feels. I wonder whether when we are being truly brave, what we feel is fear. Fear which has rational explanations. Fear which, even with its element of the unknown, is shaped by past experience and present context. There is much bravery, much courage in the words from Luke we've just heard. Any peacekeepers will feel an element of fear when they're on an operation where there might be trouble. The temple police would have been afraid like that. They needed to have courage to carry out their orders. Judas, dear Judas, would have been, I think, terrified. Not only was he facing Jesus, his friend who had let him down so badly, but he was also facing the rest, all those with whom he'd lived and worked and just shared a meal. Jesus needed courage, for he knew what was coming. He called it the power of darkness. Could he have resisted? I believe he could have. The narratives tell us that more than once Jesus managed to disappear from the midst of a crowd. His courage enabled him to remain, not to resist, but to remain with his dignity intact. Jesus' friends just don't know what to do. Just roused from an uneasy sleep, I think Monty Python may have summed up their lack of coordinated effort at defending their leader. James and John, who knew that they could drink the cup that Jesus would drink and sit on his right and his left, so lacked courage that they fled. And Peter, he did his best to be brave. He really did. He, alone of the men, followed at a distance. Peter, who thought he could go where Jesus went and do what Jesus did and go through whatever Jesus went through, he could only manage to follow at a distance. I expect that not a single one of these felt brave, not even Jesus. I am convinced, though, that Jesus was peaceful. He was not troubled, not any longer. The fourth gospel gives us a wonderful discourse in which Jesus tries to help his friends prepare for this hour. He says to them, and therefore to himself, "Don't let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God." He goes on to tell them to believe in him. This is a wonderful vignette of Jesus giving as much courage to his friends as he could. Believe, rely, place all your hopes in, follow me. The courage which Judas lacked, would have helped him if he could have stayed the long distance project. If he'd had courage, he would have had patience. The courage which those who ran away lacked would have given them strength to continue to walk with Jesus. The courage which Peter lacked would have given him the pride required to claim Jesus as friend. The courage which the women received was perhaps easier for them to carry, because they remained overlooked in all things. Jesus' courage was demonstrated not in passivity or in weakness, but in the dignity of his certain conviction that he was doing the right thing. His dignity enabled him to control his anger, to receive the blows, both verbal and physical. And even more difficult, perhaps, his courage enabled him to refuse the temptation to hate. The temptation to hate, to fear the other, is great. So is a temptation towards self-loathing for wrongs imagined or actual. The temptation to not resist that is enormous, and courage is required. Jesus courageously resisted hate. He resisted hate of the friends who betrayed him in different ways. He resisted hate of the religious leaders who called for his death. He resisted the hate of those who could have saved him but didn't. He resisted the hate of those who inflicted such pain. His courage led him not to fight back, not to run away, not to stand up for his rights, not to see others as less than himself, not to hate. His courage lives. While he was still speaking, suddenly a crowd came, and the one called Judas, one of the 12, was leading them. He approached Jesus to kiss him, but Jesus said to him, "Judas, is it with a kiss that you're betraying the Son of Man?" When those who were around him saw what was coming, they asked, "Lord, should we strike with the sword?" Then one of them struck the slave of the high priest and cut off his right ear. But Jesus said no more of this, and he touched his ear and healed him. Then Jesus said to the chief priests, the officers of the temple police, and the elders who had come for him, "Have you come out with swords and clubs as if I were a bandit? When I was with you day after day in the temple, you did not lay hands on me. But this is your hour and the power of darkness." And they seized Jesus and led him away, bringing him into the high priest's house. And Peter was following at a distance.